Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 251 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Thursday, October 22nd, 2015. I am your host, Mark Cugenez, and let's get this show going. I think, though today is actually Thursday, I'm going to start recording the shows on the day before they go up, so that I have more time to potentially edit things, or just when I'm recording the shows themselves, I don't feel too rushed, because I do tend to feel rushed, kind of, because I'm working on the day or doing whatever, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I need to record the show, and then I have to fix the post. I don't do much, I just edit mainly the initial paragraph, and then put that up, and then post it to iTunes and all that stuff, and I'm like, oh, the day's gone. So I'm just thinking it would be better for everything, every single aspect, if I were to do that. But I'm not doing that today, though I am recording earlier than usual, so that I don't feel rushed later in the day. Before I hit some games and whatnot, I may be a little bit distracted because you all may have remember my experience with Mondo trying to get that subscription for the four turtle figures, which I didn't get, and then I kind of was like, I'm never dealing with Mondo again. Well, today they are going to release the black and the gray and orange version, or gray and red, I'm not sure, of the Little Mikey figure. So it's that 9-inch vinyl figure that's based on, I forget whose design, but it's the one where he's holding a little ice cream bar of a turtle head as well, and I like the way that looks. The regular one is pretty cute, but I don't know why I really like the way it looks in gray, and it looked like a reddish orange. It didn't look red, but I don't think it was orange. Maybe it was. Either way, that's coming out at a random time today, and there are only 100 of them, I believe, so I am going to fail to get that, probably, though I don't know. The one thing I don't like about Mondo, and it's understandable because shipping does cost money, but God, when I see the shipping cost for any other purchases, it's just like a nightmare. And the thing that also sucks is that they don't seem to give you much of a discount, if any, for purchasing multiple items at once, which just adds to the suckage of that whole thing. So I've got my eye on Twitter, and I've already got the toys page on my other computer so that I can just refresh it when the time comes, if it comes, and I'm right here. And I have my pay info ready to go, because that was what pretty much screwed me out of the last time, because you don't get locked in. When you're purchasing something on Mondo, you don't get locked in if you have it in your cart and you're going through the checkout process. You're just screwed until you actually confirm the order. So there isn't, you don't get like you have 5 minutes or however many minutes to actually input your information. And I don't think there's a way to save your information on the site other than your address. So that's in there, but yeah. And I don't want to do PayPal because, well, I guess through PayPal I can also use my credit card, but I don't want to take out. I like using my credit card because I pay it off always, the entire amount, but, you know, to build up credit and do all that. Speaking of credit cards, I saw a report on the news about how store-based credit cards are really not that great for anyone who doesn't pay off their balance every month. And I think I would revise that to say credit cards aren't a good idea for anyone who doesn't pay off their balance month to month. And I really don't, like, I don't know what the percentage is out there. And just so we're they were mentioning in that story how store credit cards are in the, like, mid 20% percentiles in terms of the interest rates. So that's pretty damn high, and I think Staples was the highest they found at 29% or something along those lines, which is ridiculous. But I really don't understand why anyone wouldn't or doesn't pay off their balance every month? Why carry a balance? And if your answer is that you don't have the money to pay off that balance, why'd you spend it in the first place? Why spend money you don't own? I don't understand that. If you don't have money, don't spend it. If you're like, oh, I like, if there was a figure I really wanted, but I didn't have the money for it right now, or right now, I'm not even gonna say in the future that I'm expecting money to come in. If I can't afford to pay for it right now, if I don't have the cash, if I couldn't, you know, get the cash, I don't carry thousands of dollars of cash on me, but if I didn't have the money right now to buy this figure that's coming out, I would not even think about ordering it. It's not like, oh, there's only going to be 100 of these. If I don't get it now, I'll never get it. Well, then you're never going to, then you don't deserve to get it. I don't want to say you don't deserve to get it, but then you're just out of luck, because you should never, ever spend money you don't have, because you will just get into a humongous hole. That's why they have those interest rates. That's why companies offer these great deals with their cards, or why there are certain companies that are like, hey, nobody will give you a loan, we'll give you a loan, because they're going to screw you in the long run. They're hoping you don't pay so they can just eat you away. It's not why. Why do that to yourself? It's just crazy. Like I always say when I talk about graduating from college, the greatest accomplishment for me was not actually graduating or getting my degree. It was the fact that I graduated and did so without, I left with zero debt, paid it all off while I was going. You know, I did it in the, I think they were able to like split up the tuition in like three or four chunks each semester, so it made it easier in that sense, but and without any interest rate on that splitting up of the payments. But that was, and that is my greatest accomplishment in terms of my college life and career, because knowing so many friends, like I'm trying to think about how many of my friends did the same thing, and how many friends even to this point are still in such crippling, not crippling, I mean, they're surviving, but to have tens of thousands of dollars in debt that you're going to be paying off for years and years, it's a horrible situation. And it really sucks, because society always talks about how important an education is, and I believe an education is important, but at the same time, we, the United States, put so many barriers up to that, because one, if you're a very intelligent person but you come from a lower income background, if you're not lucky enough to get a scholarship that pays for everything or most of the tuition, then it doesn't matter if you get into the best schools, because you're not going to be able to pay it off. There are schools that you can't even get loans to, I don't think, if you're that low income and don't have any kind of other income coming in terms of scholarships or whatnot. So that's one barrier. And then there's just, I don't know, there's just so many obstacles in the way of getting the education that we look at as so important. And you look at other countries that, yes, of course, their taxes are higher because of having, you know, free healthcare to an extent, or being able to go to state schools for nothing up to your bachelor's degree and stuff like that. But I don't know. I feel like paying that extra tax is worth it for our society to be more better off overall. You know, I do believe in higher taxes, or I don't know how the tax breakdown works with people who are really rich and all that stuff, but I don't know. I have a lot of issues with taxes and other things, and kind of the way you can write certain things off. Like, I hate the fact that you can write off donations and charitable givings and stuff like that. I don't like that, because that takes away the whole point of charity to me and donating. But at the same time, I know that if you took away the ability to write off charitable donations, then there would be much fewer people donating to charity. So it's this lose-lose, win-win, I don't know, situation. Because like the reason why I don't like the fact that you can write it off is because then you have so many people who, in actuality, are only donating to this cause or that cause because they know they'll be able to write it off. So it's just, I don't know. It's just weird to me. It's like, donate because you want to donate. Like, every time I've ever donated, I've never written it off. I don't. That's my choice, of course. And plenty of people will be like, you're an idiot for doing that. But I'll happily be an idiot in that case. But yeah, I don't know how I ended up on all this tangent, and I have no idea how long the show has been going on for so far, because I can't see the time. I hope, oh God, the one thing I can't see is if the levels and whatnot and all that stuff is getting choppy or messed up. So hopefully this episode doesn't get all screwy or whatnot, because then I'll be really screwed and really annoying. And, oh boy. So I guess I'll just jump into the games now. Inside Ninja! Shing! Got a smidgen to talk about. I even have a little notepad right here. Can you hear this paper? That's my paper. My single sheet of paper with the info I need. Because I want to be a bit more prepared, as well as not feeling rushed. So, yeah. And I found out that I can make something. Like, I tried doing things digitally and other stuff, and I was like, nah, that's not good. But here is my thing. I don't know. So I just got a copy, a code for Forest, for review, and I've dived into it, and I have to say I am so far pleasantly surprised by the game. I never heard of it until yesterday, and it was a Kickstarter game. It was available, it is still available on PC, I think Mac and Linux as well, for a while now, and it's just hitting consoles, Xbox One and PS4. I played it on PS4. No, I did not. I don't know where I was going with that. I played it on Xbox One, and it's an arena-based action hack-and-slash RPG-esque game. Not exactly. It's Diablo-style, sort of, in combat and viewpoint, isometric, but closer in. More like the Champions of Norrath games and Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance and whatnot. And it's fairly challenging. It is a co-op game and encourages co-op. It would definitely be easier with co-op. It's a difficult game. I have not tried the co-op yet because I only got one code and I am not able to... I like whenever a game has couch co-op, but that doesn't mean everyone, like myself, is able to just easily find someone to put on a couch next to them to play a game. And in some cases, if I do have someone who I can easily call upon, they may not be the greatest gamer in terms of skill. And this is a game that requires a bit of skill, so I won't even bother trying the couch co-op because I won't be able to find anyone who is capable of playing this type of game. And I'm not sure about randoms. I did hear that one of my friends did pick up the game himself, so I might try and play with him. But so far I've only played single player and I've enjoyed it quite a bit. So the way it works is that you have your character who's kind of just a blank slate. You can't customize the appearance or anything like that, but there are four different weapon sets. You have these, like a shield, and all these weapon sets also have various kind of elemental attributes. So there's like an ice one, a fire one. There's one that's green, but I don't think that's for poison or anything. I don't know what that one was. And then there's one that looks more like energy, like electricity. And the weapons are a shield, which is just kind of weird because I didn't notice any other weapon. Which makes me think of Mortal Kombat, the first movie, and what was it? Johnny Cage versus Scorpion, when he slices his chest open, and then you get this very, very tasty looking bloody goop coming out of him that doesn't look bloody at all because it's way too colorful. Then there's these kind of bound hand blades that are just sort of, they almost look like calligraphy pen nibs that are wrapped around each hand, and those allow for like super fast attacks. Then there's a giant hammer, of course, because you need giant hammers. It's hammer time. And then a bow and arrow. And you pick one of these weapons, and then it puts you in a certain armor look, which is always the same, depending on, you know, which weapon loadout, that was a word. Out was the second part of the word. You choose. So you pick all those, and then you have various skills, active and passive. And you could assign multiple depending on how many crystals you've earned. And you earn crystals by completing levels. So each level, I think there are 25 or so. And then each of those areas has a boss level as well. So then it'll be like around 30. So around 30-ish, I think, somewhere in that era. In that spectra. So you get a crystal for beating a level, no matter what. That's just an automatic. You finish a level, then you get a crystal. And then the two other ways of earning crystals on a level are by either beating a certain time, finishing the level within a certain time limit, or by completing an objective, or you can call it a challenge, where it's basically like, kill this boss within this time span, within 8 seconds of it appearing, or avoid this this fog stuff, which is hazardous, or complete these things without taking any damage and stuff like that. So those are the ways you can earn a crystal, except with the time-based one and the objective challenge-based crystals, you can't die on a level. So, I was going to say, well, of course, you can die and still complete the level. And that's true. But if you die, you have a respawn time limit of, I think, 30 seconds. So, you can die as many times as you want on a level. So, if it's difficult, you know, you're not limited to the number of lives you have, but you can't die and then die immediately after. So you have to kind of run away if you're capable after dying, if you are worried about dying again. So the way it works is that you have this orb with you, and you use that to kind of complete certain objectives in the arena while enemies come at you in waves. And it's fun. It's fun because you have the challenge of completing certain things, like activating shrines, which you use the orb. You put it at one spot, and then you call for it on the other end, and then it hovers over a shrine and activates it. And then you can put the orb inside these like large statues, which then allows them to be moved, so you can put them over certain spaces so that they'll weigh down and activate a switch, etc., and stuff like that. And the joy comes in having to manage all these different things that are happening at the same time, like trying to solve puzzle is it's they're not really that difficult, the puzzles. I mean, calling them puzzles is a stretch in itself. But what makes them difficult is that you have to manage that while enemies are coming at you and attacking you. And there are various shrines as well that if you hover the orb over them, you will gain the ability to heal yourself for a brief period of time. And there's just a lot of kind of multi-managing happening at once. And I like that. It's fun. It's never too difficult. I don't think it's too difficult. It is definitely challenging, but it never feels cheap, which is good. But I've only finished the first area, and I've made my way to the second and played a few levels of that. It looks okay. I'd say the trailer looked a bit choppier than it actually looks when I finally played it for myself. So that was a surprise and a pleasant surprise. And actually, the thing that got me excited about this game and what made me want to play it in the first place was watching the trailer and seeing that the orb is actually not just an orb. It actually has a personality. It's kind of your narrator and your guide. And he says a lot of funny things and is somewhat self-referential. And it's just amusing the way he interacts and helps you out as the game progresses. Because there is some semblance of a story, but not really anything too grand or, you know, crazy or that interesting. But yeah, it's a fun, surprising game. Also, when you're attacking enemies, you'll add marks to them. So every successful hit to an enemy will add a mark above his head, and I think it goes up to 5. And doing that makes your active skills, so you have like a skill that allows you to kick super powerfully. If you have marked an enemy to the max or to any degree, the more the merrier, then your active skills will be more powerful. And then you have passive skills, which are basically like, oh, you do more damage for consecutive hits, or with every consecutive hit, your attacks are faster. But the one thing about the orb that is annoying to me, I don't know why I said to me, because also I'm not sure if this is the case or not, or if I've just been having a stroke while playing this game the whole time. I swear whoever's doing the voice acting is changing their voice like all the time. I almost feel like they switched voice actors or something, because there are points where where the orb's voice sounds one way and then it sounds a different way, and I don't understand what's going on, and it's very confusing, and I don't get it. But I enjoy what's coming out of the orb's mouth, even though it's an orb and doesn't have a mouth. I enjoy what it's saying. I just don't understand why the way it says things is not always the same. But yeah, that's Forced so far. I would definitely check it out. It's on Xbox One and PS4 now, and it's, I believe, $14.99, so it's not too shabby. Yeah, check that out. So the other games I played are Halo Combat Evolved in the Master Chief Collection, and I've been playing it because I saw the Halo 5 Guardians opening cinematic, and I was just kind of like, oh my god, this looks awesome. I just want to watch an entire movie of this, but I can't, so I'm kind of psyched for Halo 5 now, and I was like, I've never played through all of 1 or any of 2. I don't remember 3. ODST I love. Reach was like a mission or two and then I stopped, and then I didn't touch Halo 4. So I've got a lot of catching up to do, because I want to get this story. I keep hearing about how great it is from certain friends and other people as well. But so far, I don't understand why people love Halo in terms of its story and its universe. I don't see much there in at least the first game, and I don't know if it's because there isn't much there or I'm missing it, or if the people who are really invested in the story were just interested in like these little tidbits and then explored the universe on, you know, past the video games and books and all that kind of stuff. But I don't feel like there's much there in the first game, at least. That said, I still really like Halo as a game. I think it's a fun game to play. I like the style of the visuals. I think there's something also charming about the original visuals, specifically the vehicles, the way they look. I think the blockiness really, like, I don't know, there's something really nice about it. And the new visuals do look nice, and there's a big change. Sometimes I don't like the way they chose to update certain characters. But it plays really well. And it is an older game, so of course the first game is rough around the edges control-wise, but it still feels pretty good. And another nice thing about the collection is that they have, I think, a dozen or maybe a few more different control schemes for you to choose from. You can't actually edit it yourself and make something completely custom to your own liking, but I'm sure you'd be able to find something you would really, really like in their various options. But yeah, I don't understand where the story love comes for Halo, but I still really like it as a game. And the thing that I was reminded of while playing it, I'm about a third of the way through the game. I just finished the fourth mission. I think there are 10 missions. And the thing I really love and was reminded of was just how fantastic the music is, the score, and how well implemented it is within the game, and how whenever a big moment's happening or stuff is just getting exciting and thrilling on the screen, it's all ramped up even more by a wonderful orchestral score that is just pumping in and really overtakes all the other audio and just is like, oh god, it's so good. And I can't think of any other game that really does that I play. You know, I was talking with some friends and I was mentioning that I think something like Final Fantasy does that, but I don't know from experience. And the only other game that I could think of that for me the music was a really, really crucial part, well, no, like I'm just thinking right now, BioShock, I would say probably the music was a big part of that. Both the original and Infinite, I didn't play 2, so I can't speak to that. But the game that really sticks out in my mind and may actually be a score I prefer, because I just think it's one of the, I really do think, at least taking out a few of the songs on their own, To the Moon, that indie, beautiful, beautiful game, has an incredible score. And Four River and To the Moon, both those songs are just absolutely incredible. If I was ever to get married, I would want Four River to be playing as my significant other was walking down the aisle to join me in matrimony. And then if I was ever lucky enough to have a daughter, I would want To the Moon to play during our last dance, or as I'm walking her down the aisle to give her away, quote, give her away. I think that's a weird thing to say. Or also, if I was unlucky enough to live as my significant other passes away, I would want To the Moon to also play then at her funeral. Which is kind of a depressing thing to think about. It's like, oh, I know the song I would want to play at my significant other's funeral if that day ever comes. There's so many things that have to happen first before that can happen, but I'm already ready for the funeral. Wow! But, yeah. Halo is a good game. I enjoy it as a game. I just don't understand the story love, or if I have to explore the universe past the video games, the extended universe. And then other than that, playing some other stuff, but I wanted to mention just that I was looking into how many levels were actually in that Frozen Freefall Match 3 free-to-play game. Holy crap! Do y'all know how many levels are in that? Do y'all? Take a guess. Have you guessed? I guarantee you're way off, because it's way more levels than I thought there were in this stupid-ass game. According to Google and some site that seems reputable, because any site that would devote any kind of attention and whatnot to this game, I feel like there's facts and everything are probably pretty accurate. There are 465 levels and Frozen Freefall. And I just don't... I'm at, like, level 60 or something, and I'm just kind of thinking there are, like, 8 times as many levels as where I'm at, pretty much. Oh, my God, this is the worst thing in the world. But, yeah, that was a freaking weird... ass discovery. But yeah, I guess it's good for anyone who wants all the Frozen Freefall they can get. But that's pretty much it game wise. Haven't really gone back to Metal Gear or anything like that. Haven't played much Forza either, so it's been Forced and Halo. So that'll probably be what's on the docket. I'm super, super, can't wait, excited, come on, give me Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition. I need that, and I need it right now. I've been waiting for a good month or two, basically ever since it was announced that it was coming to consoles. Then I was like no longer interested. I'm still interested in Divinity Original Sin 2, but to get it on console, the first one, it's just going to be awesome, because what I played of it on PC, I really, really liked. And I just wanted it on console. I was like, oh, I kind of had this feeling that it might actually come to consoles because it was doing really well. And yeah, that day is almost upon us. So that's going to be super awesome. But yeah, that's it game wise. So, anime. I went to my backlog. And also checked my anime list for just a show that was highly rated and I had yet to see and wasn't too long. I still do want to go to like something like One Piece and just watch a few episodes of the first season and just see how I feel about it. Don't know what that will amount to or what will become of that if I do end up doing that, but that's still in the cards. But the show I chose to watch is ranked like number 45 in terms of if you're just pulling out TV series on my list is Anohana, The Flower We Saw That Day, which I've really, really, really mixed feelings about this show because there are certain things I really love about it and then there are certain things, one thing in particular, I really don't like about it. And what I love about it is that, one, it visually it looks great. Voice acting is great. Writing overall is pretty good. And I love the fact that it's tackling something that isn't super common in anime, which is the loss of, spoilers of course, the loss of life and the loss of life at a very young age and how children cope with that. In their later years and stuff like that. And I think that's an interesting topic to look at and try to capture and to just put on the screen. I think that's something interesting and worth checking out. But my problem is the young girl who passed away, and I haven't found out yet how she passed away. I've got 2 episodes to go. It's an 11-episode series. And I finished episode 9 earlier this morning. The young girl who passed away, Menma, she is so incredibly annoying. She's a clear and obvious moe character who, for me, moe characters in general are more along the lines of annoying characters. I don't like the moe trope in most cases because I find that too often ends up being incredibly annoying because they're just like super whiny. I think what a moe character is trying to do for and may do for a lot of people is be this innocent. They're usually girls, I think. I don't think there are many male moe characters in most cases, but I think they're just trying to create a character that you feel like you want to protect. And you feel like they're so innocent and somewhat naive. And it's just like you need to protect them and care for them. And just, you just kind of love them, I guess. I don't know. I don't like them, though. I find they're always annoying and bratty and selfish in many ways. And whiny and never endearing. They don't think about other people that much, and they're just, they just are so, they're like gnats. They're like little bugs that just won't leave you alone. I think good examples of moe characters, one from an anime that is my favorite, and I can't remember her name for F and sake, but the little girl from Usagi Drop. I think she's a great example because she's adorable. She's cute. I care for her. I had strong feelings for her in terms of just really liking her. But she's also someone who shows in many situations how she cares for other people. And she's not, she's, can be bratty like any little girl would be, but never to such an, not all the time. And it always makes sense. I don't know. I don't know how to put it. And I think an example, non-anime, that would be better for, or for those who don't watch anime, Boo from Monsters Incorporated, super adorable. She just grabbed me in so many ways and made me want to have a daughter. And I love her. She's just so adorable and sweet. But she's not annoying either. And I think in too many cases, moe characters are just like these annoying little, they're just characters who just, they're just two. They are T-O-O. They are two. There's just abundance down the wazoo. It's like with School Live and whatever her name is. She ruined the show for me because I couldn't stand her. And she never got any better. And there was never really anything endearing about her that I found, not really. And that was, I know I'm in the minority there, and I feel like I'm probably in the minority in many cases regarding moe characters. But yeah, that's my problem with Anohana, is that Menma, your main, well, your dead girl, she's not the main character. She's sort of this, she's a big character, but only one other person can see her, and she's kind of what's bringing everyone together. But she's just incredibly annoying, and I often can't stand her when she's on screen. But other than that, I really like the show, and I like kind of what it is doing, and I like what Menma, the reason for her existing, and why she's coming back, and why she's being seen only by this one person, Jinta. And the reason is because, holy crap, wait, I think the thing just went on sale, so I'll be right back. You say it's on sale now, but I don't see it, you liars. Oh, wait, there it is. They are processing my order now. Let's see what happens now. Go. Do 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 do. Thank you for your purchase. Da da da. I just did it. I can't believe I actually got it. What's going on? Da da da. I hope that song, I'm sure it's copyrighted or whatever, but I don't think anyone cares. What is that song from? What TV show? Ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. that was great radio. Y'all just got to hear me successfully get this stupid Mondo figure. Dumb. The dumbest thing in the world. But I got it. And that's a thing. I'm happy that the shipping was cheaper than I was expecting. Where was I? Yeah, so in Anohana, we start off, and she died when she was a really little girl, Menma. Getting back to the story, they were like 5 years old or so, and now they're around 15 or 16. So there's a 10-year gap. And the thing that's really also annoying about Menma is that she does age. She's not the 5-year-old girl she was, but she's not fully aged. She doesn't seem, if she's supposed to be 15 or 16, it does not come across at all. And I'm not saying that because her personality is much younger, which makes sense because she hasn't had all these experiences to grow with. But the fact that she's kind of not fully developed physically, like she's grown but not to the same extent as everyone else, is weird to me. I don't understand why have her grow at all if she's not going to grow at the same rate. And I'm not just saying because she's flat-chested, which, I mean, I feel like that's part of why they didn't have her age to the same degree. And I, like, as I said, I like maybe they're saying she is, but she does not look like she's the same age as them. But I think part of the reason why they had her age at all is because they wanted to throw in these occasional sexual aspects and the fact that the boys loved her when they were all young and they still have feelings for her, and to not make it super weird and creepy, which is just annoying. I hate how they always have to throw in these sexual things. Like, it's like, get out of here. Why does she have to knee him in the crotch? And then he, like, I think in the beginning of the episode, he literally succumbs to the middle thing in that word. Though you don't see anything, of course, but I don't understand that. That's weird to me. So 10 years has passed since she passed away. However she did, I'm not exactly sure. I have, you have some ideas. But right off the bat, it's made clear that when she pops up and you find out and realize that she's a dead girl and she has this wish, you know, she has some wish that she wants granted, and that is probably what's going to get her to leave. And she's not sure what that wish is. But Jinta is going to help her. It's going to help grant this wish so that she can leave him alone. Even though later on, you know, she's going to find out that he doesn't want her to leave because he still loves her. And that's another annoying thing about her, is that everyone, all the boys seem to love her. And the girls feel like they can't live up to her. But I don't know why, because even in the flashbacks when they show her, there's nothing about Menma that is as a dead girl or back when she was 5 years old. There's nothing about her that seems particularly special. Like, I don't know what, why anyone would look up to her. Like, what is so special? Why are you in love with her? What does she do? What? What? Tell me anything. I don't see any of that. But she comes back and is only able, she's only visible to Jinta. Nobody can see her. They can occasionally see, like, newspapers or flyers and things blowing in the wind. And that's kind of ghosty stuff. And later on, she's able to write it, that write to the other people in her journal, and they can read that, but she can't write on anything else. But she comes back to Jinta, and it's clear that the wish, I'm sure that in the end, what she wants granted is that after whatever happened with her death and whatnot, the group of friends all split apart and went their separate ways. And it seems very clear right from the first episode that it's about getting this group of friends back together and just making them a part of each other's lives again. Because why shouldn't they be? They were such good friends. And to let this thing, to basically have Menma be the reason why they're no longer friends, her wish would probably be to have them be friends again. Because why would she want them and their friendship to end because of her death? So that seems very clear. But I don't understand the admiration the characters have, the two boys in particular, Jinta and Atsumu, have for Menma, why she's so special. Cheruko seems very, she just sort of is like trying to stay up to par with Atsumu because she clearly likes him. And then Anjo is a very interesting character who kind of battles with this internal guilt of feeling good about what happened right before Menma died, because she is in love with Jinta, but I don't know what's going on in Jinta's head. Like, does he still love Menma? Like, does he have any feelings for Anjo? All that is kind of, I'm hoping these final two episodes kind of finish that storyline as well, or close the doors there, either way. And the funny thing is that the seemingly most adjusted character, who's just the most normal and doesn't have problems of any kind, doesn't really, he's the one who wasn't particularly in love with Menma, and doesn't seem to have had like incredibly life crippling scars or some like incredible, even he doesn't seem like he has much guilt or anything. Like it's part of the past, it happened, but it wasn't his fault. Maybe something's gonna happen in these last two, but Popo, who's just, he was like the little runt of the group, and now he's the giant, chunky, not fat or anything, but just he's like become a giant and very kind of your lovable dimwit. But yeah, it's a love-hate relationship I have with the show, and I don't know what's going to happen in these last two episodes, how it's going to make me feel, because now they're working on the whole firework, and I'm guessing that's the end, getting her to heaven and becoming friends again and all that stuff. But yeah, I do, despite having issues with it, because I know other people don't feel as strongly about Moe characters, or they tend to really like Moe characters, I do still highly, highly, highly recommend checking out the show. If after three episodes you find that you just can't stand Menma, don't continue with the show, because she does not get any better. I don't think she ever gets any better. I think she continues to be as annoying as she was right off the bat. And yeah, if you can't stand her, then there's no real point in watching the show unless you feel like you can tolerate her for the rest of it, the rest of the story and everything. But if she's getting on your nerves in the first three episodes constantly, just don't do it. I mean, yeah, it's a highly rated, a highly acclaimed show, but that doesn't mean everyone loves it, and it doesn't mean you have to love it, and it doesn't mean I have to love it. I like it. I wish I could love it, but I only just like it. But that's the main thing I've hit from my backlog. Then just a few mentions of current shows that I've hit the last episodes on. Anti-Magic Academy 35th Test Platoon. This show's kind of surprising me. I'm interested in this whole human versus witch, not controversy, but just the combative nature between these two races, I guess, of people, and what's going on all in that realm. And the world seems more fledged out, and there seems to be more beneath the surface and just more going on than I at first thought. Like, I thought it was going to be a very surface series, a very surface show, and very kind of paint by numbers and kind of along the lines of like the Chivalry of a Failed Knight or Astros War, which the Astros War has some stuff going on as well. But yeah, I'm surprised, and I'm interested to see where it's going. I'm not fully invested, but I'm much more open and kind of like, ooh, what's going on here, than I was when I first started it. So I would definitely check that out. That's on the old Crunchyroll. Dance with Devils, it's the same love-hate thing where I don't really like the show, but every time he busts out in song, even if it's just for like 10 seconds, I really dig it. It definitely does have a kind of West Side Story, those early type of musicals that like that era of musical vibe to it. And like this past episode was super weird and got really creepy with this like pop-up carnival and these girls in masks who were all like super obsessive and crazy and like brainwashed, and it was crazy, but in a kind of good way, in a kind of really great way. I don't know. It's a weird show, and I don't know what's going on with it story-wise. And also, if you're watching the show, I would love to know if you also thought the moment the brother spoke, you were like, damn, that voice was not what I was expecting to hear. It was super deep. It super did not fit his appearance, at least not as far as I thought. Then I saw the second episode of Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphan, and yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's somewhat interesting, I guess, but it's not anything too, I don't know, maybe I'm just not a giant robot guy or something, but, like, I watched it, and I was like, that was good. I mean, I'm not super, super grabbed by any character in particular just yet, but, all right, okay. Action wasn't particularly great or anything. I don't even remember it that well, so I feel like, you know, a giant robot movie or series the action should be like blowing my mind. Then Heavy Object, another show that surprised me. I kind of wish it was a bit more visually pleasing. But story-wise, I dig the three main characters and even some of the side characters well. I thought the way they defeated the Heavy Object in this last episode was cool and somewhat clever. And it seems that the way the series is going to work is that it's going to be broken up into little chunks and little storylines where they're facing off against a different object, because this one was, the episode titles were 1, 2, and 3, and now we've got a new one that is blah, 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 1, so I'm assuming it's going to be broken up into 3 episodes as well. So we have just these little arcs where they're going to have an overarching story, but then they're going to have this confined battle between a specific object. I'm assuming, but of course I don't know for sure. But that's surprising. That's on Funimation as well as Dance with Devils. Mobile Suit Gundam, I think, might be on like everything at this point. I know it's on Funimation. That's where I'm watching it. It's on Hulu. And I think it might actually be on Crunchyroll as well now, but I'm not sure. Then I watched the latest episode of Beautiful Bones. Really dig that. But the one thing I don't know about that show is that it seems very, there might be an, there are like little tidbits of an overarching story, but I feel like it's more so a very, very individual type of show. A very, here's an episode and here is the way it's going to always work out. In each episode, they're going to find some human remains and then they're going to, over the course of the episode, solve the mystery of the person or person's death. Though I didn't feel satisfied by the ending of this last episode. I don't feel like they explained it, because I thought the grandmother was murdered, but they didn't really talk about it. That was weird, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the characters. I enjoy the science behind it and how it's more informative, or it is more intelligent than I thought it was going to be, while also having funny aspects and sweet aspects. And it's got a lot going on, and it's doing a good chunk of it fairly well. It's also very pretty, I find. Has more color than I expected. Though I still feel like the poster for it is a bit misleading, because it looks like it's going to be super colorful, but it's not that colorful. And then the last show, which is just kind of the second episode, I don't know why I was like confused or whatnot by it, but the third episode of Atsumatsu-san, Mr. Atsumatsu, I just friggin' love this show, because it's so ridiculous. It's just a bunch of skits. It's like, I don't know, your Sunday comic section put into visual anime form, because it's so ridiculous, and they just parody things, and it's crazy, and I love it, and I'm going to spoil the very beginning. So I'm going to spoil the beginning of the third episode to try and give you an idea of what the show basically is, because if you find this funny or amusing, then definitely check out the rest of it, because it's very much so seeming like this is exactly what the series is going to be, and I can't wait for more of it now. It's become one of my favorite shows. But in the third episode, it starts off pre-OP, pre-theme and everything, with three of the brothers in space, and they're just kind of diddling around in space, and one of them notices, what's this bar above the head? Oh, look, it's decreasing as it talks. Wait, is that that's my oxygen bar? And then he starts freaking out. It's like, oh my god, no, the more I freak out, the more it drops quicker, and then it eventually hits bottom. He's like, oh no, I'm gonna, and then he just dies, and then he just starts like floating around space. Then the other two brothers are just kind of dicking around, not really paying attention, like, huh, he's dead. And then they realize, oh, that must be our oxygen. And then they're like, oh, I guess we can't talk. Where's the spaceship? They're like, I don't know where the spaceship is. And they're just like, okay, we can't talk anymore. Let's just hold our breath. But their oxygen was already so low. So it's like black. It fades to black and says 3 minutes later. And then they're both dead and they're just floating around in space. And then you get the like sweet, not sweet, but the super charismatic, upbeat OP. And then it cuts to a parody of the Saw films. So you have one of the brothers who's in that kind of a head clamp thing from, I think that was the first movie, and you have your version of Jigsaw, who was like, you, blah, 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 this brother. And it's like, I'm not him. And then it goes through another one. It's like, I'm not him. Another one. And then I'm not him. And then another one. It's like, oh, he finally got the right brother. And then he goes on to talk about how you ruined my plaything. I didn't do that. That was this brother who we already had before. And then he gets the other one. And it goes through that for about like seven times or whatever. And it feel you would think it might get old, but the way they do it and the way they change up what's different or why he's wrong this time is super funny. And eventually he just kind of gives up after the one's like, that wasn't me. It's like, at that point, Jigsaw does not care. He just wants to kill someone and just be done with this nightmare. But that's basically what the show is. And I friggin' love it. But that will do it for this here episode. I feel like this episode went super long, which is maybe good, maybe bad. I don't know if it all sounded super great, if y'all enjoyed it. Still surprised I actually got that order in. But yeah, that's the thing. Anyway, I hope y'all enjoy the episode, which I think I may have just said like 30 seconds ago. But I am your host, Mark Kuznets. Once again, that is my name. And y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Snapchat. Hopefully, maybe I'll be doing some Periscopes of art soon. I would like to. PX Sausage on all those places. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. If you want a podcast that's really, really focused on video games, check out the podcast I do, Pixelated Radio. It comes out every other Sunday. We'll be recording this Sunday, so definitely check it out on Monday or Sunday evening when it comes out, depending on when Rom sends me the file. But check out past episodes as well, and you can find that on the site as well. And of course, both podcasts are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and various other places. I really am too lazy to actually keep putting them on YouTube, but maybe I'll actually get around to that. Some other podcasts worth checking out. Another video game one that's great. The Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. If you're into racing, real racing, I don't think they talk about video games at all ever on there, but definitely check out Sports Car Unleashed at scunleashed.com, which is hosted in part by one of the co-hosts of Pixelated Radio, Rich, the coolest dude in the planet. Not that Rob and Corey aren't cool too. They're cool too. Everyone's cool. We're all cool. He's cool. They're all cool. That's Sports Car Unleashed, scunleashed.com. And then if you're into nonsense, check out the Undercover Unitards podcast hosted by Hotcakes Man and Company over at undercoverunitards.com, which I believe will direct you to the Facebook page, and you'll find all the links you need there. But yeah, that will do it for this year episode. Once again, I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope you all have a lovely rest of your Thursday and a lovely rest of your week and a great weekend. Check out Steve Jobs. That's what I will be doing, hopefully. I can't wait to watch a movie that shows Steve Jobs as he was. It's a total prick. He's an incredibly smart, intelligent designer. Just also a dick prick. A dicky prick. A pricky dick. A prickly dick. Okay. Adios, everyone. Have a great day. Once again, once again, once again, once again. Bye bye.